Welcome to Linda's Corner of the Universe. In this episode, I am reading from A Fairy's Tale, a sensuous fantasy romance novel by Linda Mooney. Mommy, tell me a story, a fairy story. Jill has a very real fairy story to tell her daughter. Actually, she has two, the one she recites at bedtime and the one that is the truth. Once upon a time, there was a fairy whose life was contained in the forest lands of northern Maine, but when unscrupulous loggers began to cut down the trees, which were the lifeblood of her people, she was ordered to take human form and find a way to stop them by using human means. Kane York worked for the U.S. Forestry Service. The last thing he needed was a tree rights activist like Jill Latimer tagging along. Yet, as the days went by, he found himself unable to resist the woman's uninhibited spirit. Unfortunately, Jill was also finding herself falling in love with the forest ranger, the human forest ranger, a man her people would never allow her to be with once they found out. She would soon find herself fighting to stay with the man who had captured her heart, just as Kane would struggle to have the woman he cannot live without. Together, they will fight to keep their beloved woods safe from deforestation, knowing that sooner or later, one of them would have to lose everything they held dear.
How long have they been encroaching? We became aware of them 6 days ago. One of the other activists chimed in.
11 days ago, another voice rang out. Every man froze in place, then turned as one to see the young woman approaching from beyond the tree line. Kane quickly scanned the forest behind her, but she appeared to be alone.
Olson whirled on Jeffries. The man's face was dark with anger. Is she one of you?
No,
Jeffries began to say. Almost simultaneously, one of Olson's men raised a pistol and aimed it at the girl. Kane reacted instinctively. He jumped forward and hit the underside of the man's arm. The arm swung upward as the gun went off in the air. Kane snagged the man by the collar of his T-shirt and almost jerked the guy off of his feet. That was one of the nice things about being nearly 6'5", and Kane took advantage of his height every chance he needed to. He gave the activist his angriest glare.
Pull a gun again in front of me, and I'll break your hand off at the wrist. Am I clear?
He whispered through gritted teeth. The white-faced man nodded, and Kane dropped him to his feet. The young woman remained frozen in place. It was obvious from the expression on her face that she was a breath away from bolting. Kane took a slow step toward her and held out a hand.
It's all right, miss. You're safe. Can I help you? Are you lost?
She didn't look like she belonged to the group of activists. Neither did she look like a lost camper or hiker. A good scrutiny of her sagging jeans and the T-shirt that fit her like a blanket confirmed Kane's initial impression that this girl didn't fit any stereotype he was familiar with. In all honesty, Kane couldn't begin to put his finger on where she might be from or why she was there. The young woman scanned the area, her eyes darting from face to face, as if trying to determine if she was in more danger by being there. Kane looked down to see the activist still holding the gun.
Drop the pistol, asshole.
The sound of the weapon hitting the dirt was unusually loud.
You said the logger showed up 11 days ago. How do you know this?
Kane asked her.
Do you have proof?
Proof? She focused back on Kane. No. But I saw them.
You saw them? Jeffries asked. How?
I was walking through that area and saw them. She was lying, or at least she was lying about some of it. Somewhere Kane could sense there was a thread of truth to what she was telling them.
But what part? What is your name?
He asked her. Gelatimus.
Well, Gelatimus, may I ask why you're here?
My family lives north of the park. The loggers are slowly making their way in that direction, and they won't stop. They won't go somewhere else, and they won't leave. Please,
Can you help us get rid of them? The gleam of tears appeared on her lower lashes, lashes that were so pale in color they were almost white. At the same time, the sky overhead began to cloud up. Cain felt the first faint drops of rain. He turned to look at the others.
Let's go inside and toss this around a bit more. I want all of you...
Jeffries gave the men and the girl a glance to let them know they were included.
To show us on the map where all this is taking place. There may be more to this than a simple case of poaching.
The men agreed and began to file into the cabin. Cain gestured again toward the girl as the rain began to fall harder.
She didn't budge. You're getting wet.
So are you. He glanced up at the clouds and laughed, and started to make a comment about the lunacy of remaining outside when he felt her slip her hand in his. The suddenness of her action surprised him, but not as much as the fact that she had taken the initiative to lead him toward the station. For more information about this book, including excerpt and by links, go to lindamooney.com. Intro by freesfx.co.uk.